High above the valley, two figures concealed themselves. One was a silver-haired general of the heavenly host. The other was Tal.
The strong man, said the general. Rafar had business here only days ago.
Tal peered into the valley. The swarms of black demons were too numerous to estimate. And Susan is right in the middle of it. She's dangerously close to the strong man. The prayers of the remnant have blinded the demonic powers around her, but it will buy you time and little more. Tal grimaced. We could never break through to her. We can barely hold the town of Ashton, much less take on the strong man directly. And you can expect this buildup to worsen. Their numbers increase tenfold each day. And Tal, she knows about the suicide.
Grim news. I understand she and Patricia Kruger were very close.
The general nodded. It jolted her, and the Lord was able to speak to her heart. But for that very reason, her time of safety is limited. Here's your next step. The Universal Consciousness Society is holding a fundraising dinner in New York. Now, Susan's master, Alexander Kasif, can't attend because of his activities here. He'll send Susan, closely escorted, to represent him. This will be the one time she'll be out from under the strong man's demonic cover. She'll try to get away during that time and make contact with one remaining friend on the outside, who can in turn contact your newspaper man. You must make sure she succeeds.
And who is this friend? Tal asked.
His name is Kevin Weed, a former classmate and boyfriend. Tal spread his wings.
I have some more prayer cover to gather in. Godspeed, dear Captain.
As Marshall and Bernice drove back toward Ashton, Nathan and Armot, their angelic escorts, caused them to have car trouble in the small town of Baker. While Marshall consulted a mechanic, Bernice chanced to meet an old acquaintance in the nearby Evergreen Tavern. Kevin Weed, now a half-drunk, semi-employed logger, and the former boyfriend of Patricia Kruger's old roommate, Susan Jacobson. To Bernice's stunned surprise, he had seen Susan Jacobson just recently at the carnival in Ashton.
She didn't talk to me for very long. She was in a hurry, had to meet her new boyfriend or something. She wanted my phone number, and that was about it.
Kevin, I've got to talk to her. She might know something about my sister's death.
Yeah, talk to her boyfriend, that fat little geezer with all the bucks.
A hunch ran through Bernice's mind.
Kevin, what did Susan look like that night?
Foxy. Long black hair, black dress, sexy shades.
What about her boyfriend?
Pudgy wimp from Fat City. It had to be his money. That's why Susan latched onto him.
Bernice and Kevin exchanged phone numbers. Immediately afterward, Marshall's car started right up, the engine trouble mysteriously gone. Overhead, Nathan sheathed his sword, his temporary sabotage completed. In New York, Tal and Gilo located the posh hotel where the Universal Consciousness Society would be holding its grand fundraiser. Dignitaries representing many nations of the world were gathering, as were myriads of evil spirits. Susan Jacobson was there, out from under the demonic cloud, but closely guarded by two burly escorts. That evening, while Gilo acted as a decoy to lure away the demonic guards, Tal helped Susan sneak away from the hotel and contact her old boyfriend, Kevin Weed, from a phone booth. He was startled and confused to hear from her, but finally agreed to go to Bernice and Marshall at the Clarion and tell them everything he knew about Susan and Alexander Kasif. Then, with split-second timing, Tal and Gilo smuggled Susan back into the hotel before the people or demons guarding her could discover she'd been missing. The next day, the Clarion office was recovering the efficiency Marshall wanted, and the new secretary, Carmen, had a lot to do with it. Marshall passed her desk just outside his office and gave her some praise for her good work before going inside to talk with an important visitor. Kevin Weed was sober but a bit dazed.
Marshall prompted, Now let me get this straight. You used to be the male acquaintance of this Susan, and she used to be the roommate of Pat Kruger, Bernice's sister.
Yeah, that's right.
Bernice added, and she was the ghosty-looking woman I photographed that night. The descriptions match perfectly, even down to the chubby man who was with her.
So let's talk about this chubby man.
Weed told them everything he could remember. The man's name was Kasif, although Weed could only remember the first name starting with an A. He was some kind of wealthy tycoon from New York, apparently in Ashton looking for property to buy.
Oh, and Susan said he's trying to take over the town. He's into weird stuff, you know, like a witch doctor. He got Susan into all that stuff. He and that professor lady at the college.
Langstrat?
Yeah, that was it. Kasif and the prof were teaching night classes together, and Susan took the classes and got real crazy. I mean, way out in space somewhere. And then she got the hots for Kasif, and he took her. He owns her now. She's history.
But then Susan called you.
Yeah. She wants me to be the go-between, to tip you guys off. She thinks your phone might be bugged.
So what do you remember about Pat?
Pat and Susan were friends until Susan got all weird. They never hit it off after that.
So did Kasif and Langstrat consider Pat Kruger an enemy?
Yeah, Pat did stick her neck out, telling Susan she was brainwashed and Kasif was a creep. Pat told me she was going to check the whole thing out, and I think she even went to see Prof. Langstrat a few times.
I think Langstrat put a whammy on her.
Next time I saw her, she was all spacey like Susan used to get, and talking about her instructor, some new guy she was going with. She told me to butt out, so I did.
Bernice asked, "You say she looked spacey? Like Susan?"
Yeah, just like Susan.
When? When did you see her like that?
Just a little while before they found her dead.
This new guy she was going with, did she ever say his name?
Thomas. Some guy named Thomas. But he must have been a pretty weird dude. One minute she'd be talking like he was the greatest, and then the next minute she'd be hiding out and saying he was following her.
No last name?
No.
Bernice got up and headed for the door. I think we have a college roster somewhere.
When she returned, she had a message for Marshall.
You've got a call, and it sounds urgent. Kevin, let's go through this roster. Maybe we can find Thomas's full name.
Weed stepped into the front office with Bernice as Marshall picked up the phone.
Hogan, this is Ted Harmel. Eldon Strawn called me. I'll give you one interview.
Bernice was just saying goodbye to Weed when Marshall came out of his office. He filled her in. He would be meeting with Harmel tomorrow. Meanwhile, check the New York phone book.
I did. No A Kasif listed.
Scratch that one. Next, check around the local real estate offices. If Weed's right about this Kasif looking for property in Ashton, the real estate people might know something about it. In the meantime, I'll call Al Lemley and see what he can find out.
All through their meeting with Weed and their following conversation, Carmen, the new secretary, sat at her desk, busily working and acting like she hadn't heard a word.